Good evening, and welcome to another episode of And That's the Game, presented by Anchor. In May of 1999, a 35-year-old CEO communications executive from Silver Spring, Maryland, named Daniel Snyder, purchased the Washington Redskins, and now known as FedEx Field, then Jack Kent Cook Stadium, for roughly $800 million following the death of the previous owner, Jack Kent Cook. At the time of the purchase, not only was it the most expensive transaction in NFL history, it was actually the most expensive transaction in sports history. The deal, financed largely through borrowed money, included $340 million from Société Générale in France, $155 million in debt assumed on the stadium, and loan servicing costs roughly around $50 million. To be able to facilitate paying down the team's debt, in 2003, Snyder sold 15% of the team to real estate developer Dwight Schar, 15% to Florida financier Robert Rothman, and 5% to Frederick W. Smith, the founder of Federal Express, now known as FedEx, leaving Snyder holding 65% and still a controlling interest in the team. Since Snyder became the Redskins' owner, annual revenue of the team has increased from more than $100 million a year to around $245 million per year. As of 2014, the Redskins then became the third highest grossing team in the National Football League behind the Dallas Cowboys, who are the team's biggest on-field rivals, and the New England Patriots. This is partly due to Snyder being able to negotiate sponsorship arrangements with companies like Anheuser-Busch, Coca-Cola, and Sprint, but also a $207 million deal with FedEx to gain naming rights to the Redskins Stadium, now known as FedEx Field. On the field, the product of the Redskins has not been that great. Through the end of the 2019 season, the team is at a losing record of 142 wins, 193 losses, and one tie. In the 17 seasons, they've also gone through eight coaches. Many Washington area newspapers who cover the Redskins on a regular basis criticized Snyder, alleging that his managerial style was partly to blame for the Redskins' on-field struggles. While many people questioned this and expected that it would show a decline in fan interaction, it turns out that the Redskins are not losing Washington. A Harris Interactive poll shows that since 2003, where the Redskins were the sixth most popular NFL team nationally, 2009 they had fallen to 17, but had risen all the way back up to number 10 most recently. However, off the field has been a different story for the Redskins, even since the beginning of Snyder's purchase in 1999. Snyder has been repeatedly pressured to change the team's name by numerous fans, politicians, and even advocacy groups, because Redskin is a derogatory term to Native Americans. In 2013, in response to a question regarding the team's federal trademark, Snyder told USA Today, quote, "We'll never change the name. It's that simple. Never. You can use caps." Snyder even went so far as to refuse to meet with Native American advocacy groups and was framed as an enemy of the cause. It pitched into a huge public relations battle that has gone on through 2013 until most recently, as last week. In 2018, a USA Today column actually claimed that Snyder was, quote, "the worst owner in the NFL due in part to his alleged racism." However, following the killing of George Floyd and many renewed calls for race relation changes throughout the United States, the pressure began to mount again, this time from the team's major sponsors, including that of FedEx founder and co-owner Frederick W. Smith, who threatened to remove not only the FedEx name from the team's facility, but also to be able to sell his shares as a team owner unless Snyder changed the name of the team. On July 3rd, the Washington Redskins franchise announced that it was undergoing a thorough review of the team's name. On July 4th, RedskinsReport.com, part of Sports Illustrated, revealed that despite the fact that his team had lost sponsors, Snyder would still use a Native American name if there were a name change and would also keep the current Redskins emblem and uniform color. That has since changed, as we now know that the team is looking to undergo a wholesale team name change, looking at something like Red Tails or Red Wolves, both which would have connotations that would bring honor to Native Americans or to African Americans who make up a large part of the DC community. Team name issue is just one thing that the Redskins have had to deal with. They have also had a few other off-season and off-field issues. During the 2008-2009 recession, Snyder attempted to sue Redskins season ticket holders who were unable to pay due to economic strife. Snyder did this despite claiming that there were over 200,000 people who were on a season ticket waiting list. Partway through the 2009 season, Snyder also tried to ban fans from bringing signs into FedEx Field as part of their ability to cheer their team on. That was a very short-lived issue. The Redskins organization has also fielded numerous complaints about the game day experience for fans as well. While some of the problems, such as traffic and parking around the Landover, Maryland area where the stadium is located, were long-standing before Daniel Snyder even owned the team, fans expressed a lot of displeasure about certain things that Snyder did that detracted away from the enjoyment of the game itself. One fan who is a season ticket holder since the 1950s said, "There's too much hoopla, fireworks, loud music. It's not about the game anymore. They're trying to generate excitement in an artificial way. It's a distraction. Redskins fans are loyal and loud. They can do it by themselves." However, since 2009, the Washington Redskins organization has found themselves embroiled in now three controversies involving misogynistic, sexually harassing, and downright disgusting comments made by members of the front office. In 2009, a column in the Washington City paper, which referred to an advertisement by Daniel Snyder's WTEMAM sports talk radio that year, yes, Dan Snyder owned a sports talk radio station, which featured something about the Redskins cheerleaders that, quote-unquote, brought the craft closer to pole dancing in every season. When Snyder bought the Redskins in 1999, the cheerleading program was given a makeover. What had once been an operation that was independent of the Redskins organization was brought in-house, and its style became increasingly risque, as quoted by a New York Times article in 2018. In the aforementioned radio ad, breathy male voices discussed a listener contest in which, quote, five lucky winners would have Redskins cheerleaders wash their car. One man asked the other if he would like the cheerleaders soaping up and scrubbing you. The Redskins also had a feature on their website in which fans were able to play a version of the Hot or Not game, clicking on a flame to pick between images of two cheerleaders. In online videos interviewed of cheerleaders in the past, cheerleaders were asked questions like, describe your perfect date, and what's the first thing that you notice about a man? As part of the cheerleading program makeover, the Washington Redskins hired Stephanie Djokian, a former squad director and choreographer for the Washington Wizards. The Washington Redskins cheerleading team would also pick up a major sponsor in that of longtime Washington businessman William Teal. Teal was a longtime Redskins suite holder and a local businessman who had close ties to the team. He also was an Army veteran who was drawn to sponsor the cheerleading team because of many trips that it took to entertain the United States military troops overseas. While Teal did seemingly harmless things like helping to judge the Redskins cheerleader tryouts or occasionally helping to pay for Redskins cheerleaders to be able to go see the Super Bowl, in 2012, things took a turn that went a little downhill. After an early season practice, Djokian informed members of the team that they were to attend a mandatory team bonding boat trip at a pier in the Georgetown neighborhood of Washington, D.C. When the cheerleaders arrived, they expected to be boarding some type of commercial party boat, but what they ended up finding was a private yacht with several men aboard, including that of William Teal. Five members of the cheerleaders' organization characterized it to the New York Times that the team bonding party was a wild gathering where men shot liquor into the cheerleaders' mouths with turkey basters, and below deck, men handed out cash prizes in twerking contests. While no cheerleaders claimed they were touched inappropriately, and the two team captains said the trip was pleasant, one added, quote, they were all adults and got out of the experience what they wanted to get out of it. But one cheerleader a few years later was told what to expect at the annual affair. She had been told, quote, I was given a heads up that we were going on this particular man's yacht and that he had a lot of money, and that you could make a lot of money there if you wanted. While Teal is no longer associated with the team and no longer owns a suite at the stadium, he was adamant in saying that nothing inappropriate happened on his boat and that the cheerleaders were always treated with respect, saying, quote, I have five sisters. No one was allowed to be disrespected. But honestly, As we've seen before in all sorts of other issues regarding harassment of young women, does that make it okay to say that I have, quote, five sisters or, quote, I have a daughter? No, it doesn't. No woman should ever have to endure something like this. If you thought it couldn't possibly get any worse for the Redskins organization or the Redskins cheerleaders, it got worse. Not in 2012, the next year. In 2013, the Redskins took their cheerleading squad to Costa Rica for their annual calendar shoot. The first part of the nightmare began for the cheerleaders when they arrived at the Occidental Gran Papagayo Resort in Culebra Bay in Costa Rica. The Redskins officials then collected the cheerleaders' passports, depriving them of their official identification. Some of the cheerleaders then said when they arrived for their photo shoot, they were asked to be topless, though the photographs used for the calendar would not show nudity. Others were asked to wear nothing but body paint, and given the resort's secluded setting, such revealing poses would not be a concern for the women, except for one thing. The Washington Redskins franchise had actually invited spectators. Spectators to a cheerleader's photo shoot that's supposed to be private and secluded and supposed to be a bonding experience for the women while they prepare for the upcoming season? Are you serious? But yes, they had done this. A contingent of sponsors and FedEx Field suite holders who all were men and who had all been granted up-close access to the photo shoot and to the cheerleaders. One evening, after 14 hours of shooting and practicing, the squad's director then told 9 of the 36 women who had attended the trip that their work for the day actually wasn't done yet. They had a special assignment for the night. This sounds like it's going very far off the rails. But some of the male sponsors had actually picked them to, yes, that's correct, be personal escorts at a nightclub. They were told to go back to your room and get ready, as several of them began to cry. One cheerleader in an interview with the New York Times was quoted as saying, "They weren't putting a gun to our heads, but it was mandatory for us to go. We weren't asked, we were told. Other girls were devastated because we knew exactly what she was doing." Some of the cheerleaders continued on to say they felt as if the arrangement amounted to the team pimping them out, and what bothered them was that their director demanded that they go as sex symbols to please male sponsors, which they did not believe should be a part of their job. When Jajokian, who as of 2018 was still the director of the Redskins cheerleaders, was asked about the Costa Rica trip, she vehemently denied that the nightclub at all was mandatory and said that the cheerleaders who went were not chosen by sponsors, stating, "I was not forcing anyone to go at all. I'm the mama bear. I really look out for everybody, not just the cheerleaders. It's a big family. We respect each other and our craft, and it's such a supportive environment for these ladies." Again, are we really trying to justify the way in which we treat women in professional sports by whether you're a mom, whether you have sisters, whether you have a daughter? Seriously, I don't have either. And yet, I understand you don't do this to women. I've been around pro sports for most of my life, whether it's been as a fan, whether it's been as a player, as a coach, as somebody who's worked in team organizations, or as a journalist. For all extent and context here, I'm 40 years old. I started playing sports when I was 5. That means about 36 years of my life has been involved in sports in some way, shape, or form. One thing that I've come to learn, whether it's being involved in boys, girls, men's, or women's sports, you treat everyone the way you would expect to be treated yourself. This was unacceptable. When this story broke in 2018, I thought it couldn't possibly get any worse for the Washington Redskins organization. But then it did. Again, a year later. Here we sit now, in July of 2020, and the Redskins organization just got the biggest bombshell story it will ever have thrown on it. In the midst of everything going on, of economic strife, of a public health crisis, of a global pandemic that is ripping through so many countries around the world, including the United States, we find ourselves reading about 15 women, members of the front office of the Redskins organization, who basically lauded out every possible allegation you can have about the way in which they were treated, including frequent sexual harassment and verbal abuse that they endured from, get this, all the way back to 2005. The story, which was broken by Will Hobson and Liz Clark of the Washington Post, began through about interviews with 40 former members of the Redskins organization and included hundreds of pages of text messages, emails, Snapchats, and other social media interactions that just were plain hard to read. For me personally, in reading through these, preparing for the article in which I wrote last night, and doing this cast today, I felt like my gut was getting ripped out. In journalism, this week, doing this article, covering this story, was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to endure. And just when I thought the story possibly couldn't get any worse, it got even worse. As it turns out, it wasn't just members of the front office. It came outside of the front office to members of the media. When a reporter for The Athletic, Rhiannon Walker, informed the team in 2009 that director of pro personnel Alex Santos had actually pinched her backside in the locker room following a game and made comments about that said backside. Walker also said that Santos repeatedly asked her to date him. Another Washington Redskins reporter for The Ringer, Nora Princiati, who formerly covered the team, also said in an interview that she was harassed by Santos as well. Santos was fired by the Washington Redskins this week and has declined to make any comment to any member of the press. Assistant Director of Pro Personnel Richard Mann said in a text message to a female employee asking whether her breasts had been surgically enhanced, and in another text message to a female employee told her to expect an inappropriate hug and don't worry, that will be a stapler in my pocket, nothing else. Richard Mann was also fired by the Washington Redskins last week. This whole situation began on a tip-over in 2018 when Larry Michael, Senior Vice President of Content and the voice of the Washington Redskins, was accused by 7 former employees who said that he routinely discussed the physical appearance of female colleagues in sexual and disparaging overtones. In 2018, Michael was caught on a, quote, hot mic, speaking about the attractiveness of a college-aged intern. Michael, who declined interview requests from any member of the press, quote, unquote, retired on Wednesday. In the 87 years that the team has been known as the Washington Redskins, they've certainly seen their fair share of shocking things happen, from on the field and the legendary of Joe Gibbs winning 2 Super Bowls, to off the field and questions about their name. This really just kind of covers all of that up. The Twitter messages began Tuesday, Daniel Snyder's name began trending, and we started to think that maybe this all had to do with the name change. But then, as more and more things began to leak from ESPN's Adam Schefter and Peter King at Pro Football Talk, it became clear that this was about to be something even bigger. That was followed up on Wednesday when some really intriguing messages started to come out of the Washington Post, and then the aforementioned Post article drops last night. 15 former organization employees documenting through interviews over the past few weeks a litany of absolutely disgusting cultural norms in the office space of the team. While the fallout has already caused 3 members of the organization to be fired, 2 who were mentioned no longer have been associated with the team, we expect and probably will see others to come down from this. The NFL has already said they are doing their own investigation into it and that there may very well be sanctions that come from the league itself. Whether that comes in the form of draft picks lost, fines to the team, an absolutely documentation of complete lack of institutional control, or the forcing of Daniel Snyder to sell the team, as we saw happen with Jerry Richardson and the Carolina Panthers in 2015, that's left for Roger Goodell and the NFL Executive Council to figure out. The most outspoken of the 15 women who gave the allegation stories to the Washington Post was that of former marketing coordinator Emily Applegate, who left the Redskins in 2015 and stated, "It was the most miserable experience of my life, and we all tolerated it. Because if we knew we complained, and they reminded us of this, there were 1,000 people out there who would take our job in a heartbeat." Applegate went on to say she assumed that team president Bruce Allen knew what was going on because he sat 30 feet away from me and saw me sobbing at my desk several times a week. Luckily for the Washington Redskins, what might hold them up right now is the fact that Dan Snyder, the team owner, and former team president Bruce Allen are nowhere to be found in alleging to have committed any of the egregious and disgusting actions that were done by other members of the Redskins' front office. The team has retained the law firm of Wilkinson and Walsh, and most specifically the services of named partner Beth Wilkinson, who will, quote, conduct a thorough independent review of the entire matter and help the team set a new employee standard for the future. New Redskins head coach Ron Rivera, who currently is also serving as the team president, was brought in to help be part of a culture change throughout the club and is reported to have broad powers. He added in a statement, quote, "We're trying to create a new culture here. We're hoping to get people to understand that they need to judge us on where we are and where we're going as opposed to where we have been." All that can be said at the end of this explosive revelation is that which name the franchise will run out of the tunnel to in shortly over a month of time is seemingly now the least of their issues. Also, if anything can be said about how we've seen the NFL handle these situations in the past, remember that of former Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson that I just mentioned, was quite forced to sell the team after similar types of allegations came out regarding that organization. It will be an interesting next month to see where and how this new sordid NFL affair turns. I know it's been said before, and it can be said again, and it can never be said enough. This is not okay. This is not okay in professional sports. This is not okay just in life in general. This is not the way that any woman should ever be treated, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in a classroom, whether it's at work, in or out of the pro sports world. This is just not okay. I hope that Roger Goodell and the NFL come down with the swiftest and harshest of punishments in this, the absolutely most egregious scandal that has ever befallen of the NFL. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we will be right back, and I'll be joined by writer for SFBN Rhode Island, Nick LeBlanc, and Zach Drapo, host of the Rhodey Sports Show here on SFBN Rhode Island, as we discuss this absolutely shocking bombshell story from the Washington Post regarding allegations of sexual misconduct and harassment by members of the Washington Redskins front office over the span of the last 10 to almost 15 years of time. You're listening to And That's the Game, presented by Anchor on Sports Fan Base Network Rhode Island. What's up, everybody? It's Matthew Jules from And That's the Game. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you on many platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and more. You can also make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm today to get started. And That's the Game is presented by Anchor, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Welcome back inside the Sports Fan Base Network Rhode Island studios. Matt Jolis with you. It has been a very interesting and difficult day as we follow the continuing developments over the shocking story involving the NFL's Washington Redskins, soon to formerly be Washington Redskins, as they began the week in what seemed like a positive light, announcing they were going to be removing the Redskins name
from the franchise after 87 years. But then late Tuesday, ESPN's Adam Schefter, along with Peter King at Pro Football Talk, began to release text messages and Twitter messages stating that there was a shocking statement that was about to come across. And we have now all seen and heard what that shocking statement is. 15 former Washington Redskins front office staffers creating allegations of just absolutely sophomoric, disgusting norms around the culture of the NFL team. I'm now joined on the show by Nick LeBlanc, writer for SFBN Rhode Island, and Zach Drapo, also a writer and host of Rhodey Sports Show and our newest podcast show, UFC Complete. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. How you doing? How you doing, Matt?
So this has been just an absolutely crazy week. As I said, as we started out on what we thought was a positive light for Washington, and it's just spiraled down to this. I know you both have been following the story over the past few hours, really since last night when the Washington Post dropped the scathing statement, you know, including excerpts of the interviews and 40 pages of emails and text message screenshots from these 15 former employees that just documented everything that goes all the way back to 2005. And obviously, you know, there's a lot to unpack here. We'll go Nick first and then Zach, get your guys' thoughts on this.
As you said, you know, it started out as a great week for Washington. You know, they announced that they're retiring the team name and the logo. They're in the process of choosing a new name, even though some knucklehead out in Virginia trademarked all the names they have planned. You know, what turned into a nice, good week for Washington has now turned extremely sour with these very serious allegations. I mean, surprisingly enough, that owner Dan Snyder and former GM Allen not mentioned in the report, which is probably all in all a good thing for Snyder that he's not involved in the report, but it's still not a good look for him because he's been under scrutiny for decades to change the team name. And then he finally does. Now he has to deal with this. It's just a slap in the face. Like, feels like the guy just can't do anything right.
Yeah, I would agree with you. this is one point I was just thinking of. Thank God there's not a lot of Redskins fans out there, right? Like, I feel bad for the Redskins fans, but it's a good thing that they don't have the fan base New England does. But yeah, Nick, you hit it right on the head. I mean, this week, this whole process of them changing their identity to one more more suitable for today's culture, more suitable to be representative of an NFL sports team, has gone to hell, really. Their front office has been scrutinized for many years because of their lack of sensitivity coming to the team name. And now that they're just finally starting to get back on track and starting to get a little bit better of a reputation in that community, it has completely gone to waste due to these allegations. And I know the Washington Post article that you mentioned, did you say it has 40 pages of text and emails?
Yeah, so the Washington Post did not publish all of it. They excerpted a lot of it into the article, but through sources, I've actually found out that the Washington Post writers received over 40 pages of emails and text message screenshots from these 15 women who then became part of this full interview with the Washington Post writers that just documented things from 2019 all the way back to 2005.
So anytime you hear 40 pages of screenshots, that's never good, right? That's always the big key. Go ahead,
Nick. When they said that there's more than 10 pages, you know, it's not a good thing. You know, and we don't know. Snyder and Bruce Allen could have could be in these allegations. Someone's just probably just covering, helping cover their tracks. Well, right. We know that Allen was fired at the end of the 2019 season strictly for his operations of the football team. We know why he was let go. But now that this comes in, you kind of have to go back to him now to say, you know, was he actually involved in this? Were him and Snyder really involved? They're saying no allegations against him, but frankly, I kind of really don't believe in given Dan Snyder's reputation.
And just because sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, so I was going to say, so dominoes have dropped already. The fallout has begun through the course of the last couple of days as this kind of first, as I said, broke Tuesday night as Adam Schefter and Peter King started dropping little nuggets about this. Director of Pro Personnel Alex Santos fired. Assistant Director of Pro Personnel Richard Mann fired. Larry Michael, the longtime voice of the Redskins, their play-by-play broadcaster, announced his retirement. We later go to find out as the article comes out that he was involved in this. There are comments in which he made to former marketing director Emily Applegate and a few others. So we know that he's involved in this. President of Business Operations Dennis Green, who was no longer with the club, is mentioned, as is also former Chief Operating Officer Mitch Gershman, who was no longer with the club, is also mentioned in these complaints. Zach, I know you were about to launch into something you wanted to say, so go back to your comment, and then if you want to touch on that as well, too.
Honestly, I kind of forgot what I was about to say. The one thing that I was just bringing up that made me forget is the fact that Dennis Green was mentioned in this. Dennis Green is one of the, at least the names that you just said, one of the more popular, more known names that I want to say he was on. Was he a Texans coach at one point? Am I thinking of the wrong person?
I'm not sure if he's the same Dennis Green who was the Arizona Cardinals coach.
I think you're thinking of another person.
Yeah, I think it's a different person.
Well, I was going to say, even if Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen weren't mentioned specifically in this article, they still, and we obviously all know this, they still have a responsibility to keep their locker room and their organization to a standard that they feel is suitable. And quite obviously, they have not done that. And you know, props to the 15 employees, the 15 female employees and interns that have came out with this, because it's something that obviously needed to get said. And hopefully from an NFL marketing standpoint, the team doesn't take too much of a hit. They take enough of a hit that they should, that they're responsible for, but they can come back from it and they learn from these mistakes and, you know, build their front office from here. It will take some time, though. They're going to be scrutinized for at least the season. They might even have sanctions come down. But, you know, we've seen this before, and I know we were talking about this with other teams over the last couple, maybe decade, that have had these front office and ownership PR messes, you know, similar with the Carolina Panthers and Richardson, or even with the Clippers and Donald Sterling. You know, this happens to teams and they have to take an internal look at themselves and they have to rebuild. And hopefully the Washington football team can come back from this.
Yes, yeah, so you brought up the Carolina Panthers back in 2015. Nick, I'll get to you in a second because I know you have a thought. Back in 2015, this same type of situation, allegations of misconduct, harassment comments, other types of things, sexual innuendos were being said by members of the Carolina Panthers front office as that report broke and eventually forced former owner, the now late Jerry Richardson, to sell the Carolina Panthers team. And just recently, the Carolina Panthers, who had erected a statue out front of Bank of America Stadium in honor of Jerry Richardson, have now taken that statue down. That comes on the heels of another issue in which now the Richardson family has been alleged to be involved in potentially former racist remarks, and in fact that Richardson's parents and grandparents were involved in slavery back in the day. And so that's put a black mark back on the Panthers organization. But to to what you were saying is that, you know, they were not going to be able to get through this. And it's just frustrating. Nick, to what you were saying.
So probably maybe the one saving grace that Dan Snyder might have in all of this is probably the slimmest of saving graces, is that no one within the football operations, as in like coaches or players, were involved in this. And that's probably the one good thing. So as a player in a coach standpoint, you're in the clear here, because you can actually just carry on and move on with your business as you're getting ready for the season. You know, it's still not a good look, though, for Dan Snyder, because for decades and decades, you face scrutiny about the name. You finally get in some good graces with some people about finally changing the name and retiring the logo, and now you got this on top of it. It's going to make it very difficult for him to really save his image, because his image has taken hit over the course of the last 10, 15, even 20 years or so. So this might really force Snyder to actually sell the team.
Not to cut you guys off, but Dan Snyder, at least to me, doesn't really seem like he's too worried about his image.
I'm going to actually agree with you that new Redskins head coach Ron Rivera said that he was brought in to help be a part of a culture change throughout the club. In a statement to the Washington Post, said, "We're trying to create a new culture here. We're hoping to get people to understand that they need to judge us on where we are and where we're going, as opposed to where we have been." The Washington Redskins now obviously join the Carolina Panthers, as we mentioned, and previously in a different light, not obviously this same type of allegation. The LA Clippers, most recently with the Donald Sterling issue and the leaked video where he was saying some very racist, anti-Semitic type of statements. But we also have to remember that the Washington Redskins do have the 2018 cheerleading scandal that they're still trying to recover from as well, too, which is what actually ended Dennis Green's 17-year tenure with the club, when that scandal came out saying that he had sold access to the Redskins cheerleaders, including attendance at a bikini calendar photo shoot in Costa Rica as part of premium suite packages, and encouraged them to attend a party topless. Not exactly something that you want to hear out of an NFL team at all in any way. The team has brought in the services of a Washington law firm, Wilkinson and Walsh, most specifically the named partner Beth Wilkinson, who said that they expect to conduct a thorough independent review of the matter and help the team set new employee standards for the future. What do you guys, we'll go Zach and then Nick, what are you guys looking at of the Washington Redskins going forward here?
A couple things, right? I think the first thing that we're going to be looking for the Washington Redskins, and I hope and I almost expect them to follow through, is being humble, having humility, accepting the fact that they messed up, and ensuring the fans and in time executing a plan to rebuild this organization from a internal, not just public relations, but just personality, being responsible for the job you hold within the organization from matters that are different than football. For a general manager, like we said, I know Bruce Allen wasn't mentioned, but from a general manager perspective, from the locker room coordinators, from the people that are in the staff, to the people that pick up towels at the end of the day, I don't care who you are. We're all people, and we have responsibility over the things we say and the things we do. You know, I know that today's culture has put a lot more emphasis on making everybody comfortable and not being racist, sexist, anti-Semitic. And I believe that as a population, we've been getting better. Unfortunately, things like this still happen in places like locker rooms because no one's perfect. But they need to realize that what they've done is very wrong. and they need to apologize, and they need to, like you just said, the Washington firm has said they're going to conduct an internal investigation, and that is the right start. And as long as they kind of keep their mouth shut and they work hard to get better, I don't see any reason why in 2-3 years this organization can't be looked at in a much brighter light. You know, obviously not disregarding their past, but saying this is where we were and we have learned and we are getting better every year, every day, just from a standpoint like that, just trying to be better internally and from a PR perspective.
Nick?
Yeah, Zach, everything you said, you know, try to be better, you know, from the top down and, you know, yeah, you know, from the owner down to the general manager, and really it should be from the owner all the way down to the 90th man on the roster when it comes time after, you know, drafts, free agency, training camp, all that. From the top dog all the way down throughout the entire organization, you know. One thing we know is that we can't change the past. They haven't invented a reset button or a time machine, which you can go back in time, prevent all this from happening, and everything is all dumb jobs and roses. But no, all you can do is learn from your mistakes and grow as an organization. And, you know, that's now the challenge that Dan Snyder himself faces. Because he's responsible. He's not listening to the allegations, but he's still responsible. He is the majority owner of this team. So he needs to be the first one to come out and make a statement. You know, apologize for everything that's happened, whether it's the past or just recently. You know, he needs to come out, make a statement, and say, we as an organization, as the Redskins or whatever name they're going to be in like 2-3, God knows how many weeks, we are going to take every step possible, cooperate with every type of law official, you know, just tell the truth, everything, lay it all out there, and move on. It could take 2-3-4, maybe even 5 years till all this gets cleared up and Washington has a better reputation for it. Especially Snyder, because this is a guy whose reputation, as you said earlier, Zach, he's a man who doesn't really care about his reputation that much. But this might be a good idea for him to really start to do that, because, you know, he wants to move his team back into the D.C. area. And with allegations like this, this hurts those chances. But now if he can come out, help clean up the situation, it'll make him look better and possibly finally get that stadium in D.C. that he wants.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this and talking this all out. Nick LeBlanc, writer for SFBN Rhode Island. Zach Drapeau, also a writer for SFBN Rhode Island, host of Rhodey Sports Show Tuesdays. You can find it available on sfbnri.com, also available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today.
No problem, Matt. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Welcome back to And That's the Game, presented by Anchor, available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. And, of course, you can always stream our show at our website, www.sfbnri.com. In the Sports Fan Base Network Rhode Island Studios, Matt Jolas along with you. Thank you very much for being a part of this very special episode of And That's the Game, as we focused on the absolutely scathing article from the Washington Post, which dropped last night after a number of sort of leading Twitter messages came across from ESPN's Adam Schefter and from Peter King at Pro Football Talk involving the Redskins and a scandal that was about to break that included interviews with at least 15 former front office employees who documented through emails, text messages, phone messages, anything that they had, an absolute culture of just disgust for treatment of women in a workplace from sexual innuendos to actual verbal comments to harassment to physical altercations with male members of the Redskins front office, many of whom either are no longer with the team or have been fired just within the past 48 hours due to this story breaking apart. We're going to get started with the final buzzer, as we always do, take you through the week of sports. What big is there to watch? And we start it off tomorrow. There is the triple header of auto racing starting at 3 o'clock. Xfinity Series will go off the Bariatric Solutions 300, and then the NASCAR Truck Series with the Vanker 350. IndyCar is in Iowa for Speedway Race 2. Race 1 happened Friday night. Race 2 is happening on Saturday. So a doubleheader for the IndyCars. There is baseball. That is correct. There is baseball. It is not regular season yet, but there are going to be some exhibition games. Cleveland will take on the Pittsburgh Pirates, New York Yankees, and the New York Mets in a battle of the subways. That'll take place 7 o'clock on ESPN2. PGA Tour in Michigan still for the Memorial, and horse racing, the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series, points being earned towards the Breeders' Cup Classic, which will happen later in the year. MLS's back tournament still happening in Orlando, Houston at Portland, LA Galaxy at LAFC. Of course, ats meaning just who's the home team versus the road team in the game. All those games at the World Wide World of Sports Complex in Disney. On Sunday, Formula One, Hungarian Grand Prix at the Hungaroring, 9 a.m. as always. And then the Cup Series for NASCAR has the O'Reilly 500. Baseball again on Sunday as well. The Mets and Yankees will play an exhibition game again. And then the White Sox and Cubs in the South Side versus North Side Battle of Chicago. The Memorial Tournament closes off its day. MLS, two games, San Jose and Chicago, Vancouver and Seattle. And World Team Tennis continues its tournament in West Virginia. Monday, baseball games again happening. Phillies and Yankees, Angels and the Padres. New York City FC takes on Inter Miami in the MLS's back tournament. And Premier League has two games, Everton at Sheffield United, Crystal Palace at Wolverhampton. Both of those games do actually have table implications and potentially Champions League implications as well. And of course, for the New England community, the USL is on ESPN2. Hartford Athletic, that is correct, Hartford, Connecticut, the Hartford Athletic will take on Loudoun United, the USL side of DC United. Looking forward to Tuesday and a few more exhibition baseball games, Houston and Kansas City, Toronto, and the Boston Red Sox on NESN. First chance to see the Red Sox since March. And then also on Tuesday as well, New England gets back into the mix of the MLS's back tournament as the Revolution look to capitalize on their 1-0 win over the Montreal Impact as they take on Toronto FC. That is a very early 9 a.m. game from Florida. They will also see action later on in the week as well, too. Looking forward to Wednesday, Red Sox against the Blue Jays. That game is on NESN at 7:30. British Masters tournament begins in golf. That is not the Open Championship. This is just a British Masters tournament, part of the European PGA Tour. Three games in MLS, Sporting KC and Real Salt Lake, New York Red Bulls, FC Cincinnati, Minnesota at Colorado. And in the USL, again featured on ESPN2, Indy 11 at the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. No real look for New England fans there, not either of their teams being involved. Heading forward to Thursday, NASCAR Cup Series with a late Thursday race or an early Thursday race compared to the NASCAR week. They will be in Kansas for the Cup Series Kansas 400, and baseball gets underway hardcore as we have Yankees and the Nationals, and then the Giants and Dodgers as the season finally begins and the 60-game run to the Major League Baseball playoffs and the World Series. Three games in the MLS that night: Vancouver and Chicago, Houston at LA Galaxy, and Portland LAFC. And that will take us all the way through to Friday the 24th, and the Red Sox get their full actual regular season underway, 7:30 p.m. against the Baltimore Orioles. That game will be home game at Fenway Park. Catch all the action on NESN and WEEI 93.7 FM. Three other games in the major leagues that day: Atlanta will take on the Mets, Milwaukee at the Cubs, Los Angeles Angels at Oakland. NASCAR Series Truck Race at Kansas for the Kansas 200 race one, so that is a doubleheader race for them, and the ARCA Menards Series also races as well, both of those on FS1. British Masters Tour will finish itself up, and the PGA Tour begins the 3M Open. I want to thank Nick LeBlanc and Zach Drapo for joining me on the show this evening to discuss the bombshell stories surrounding the Washington Redskins. I want to thank also all of my friends in the media industry, all of my sources at the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Washington Redskins organization itself, who actually few people that I was able to talk to that helped me to put pieces of this puzzle together as we were able to bring you our own article that was written and released late last night / early this morning on sfbnri.com. And then, of course, also the roundtable discussion as part of this week's episode of And That's the Game. We will be back next week with a brand new show. Of course, we will have the normal version of our show, hopefully, featuring the starting lineup with the three biggest stories of the week in sports, the halftime show featuring interviews with amazing coaches, general managers, and athletes from both the college and pro world, and the final buzzer as we look through the week in sports coming up. And it will be a great week as we will actually have real Red Sox baseball to be able to talk about. We'll also see how the Boston Cannons are doing in the MLL tournament in Annapolis, Maryland. That kicks off next week. And continue to see how the New England Revolution are doing in the MLS's back tournament as they go through looking for their chance to bring home that cup. And we'll see where the National Women's Soccer League stands in the Challenge Cup. They will be wrapping up that tournament. And it has been one wild ride. Basically, North Carolina went number one, Washington Spirit went number two, and three through seven was everybody tied together at the exact same point. And it was really all a just complete third level tiebreaker battle to figure out where teams got seated for the quarterfinal rounds. Quarterfinal games taking place today. Check NWSLsoccer.com for all of the information on that. All of the games for the quarterfinals, semifinals, and the final are available on CBS All Access. The final game will actually be featured on CBS Network. And if you don't have CBS All Access, you can catch all of the games replayed the next day on CBS Sports Network. For everybody here at Sports Fanbase Network, for our presenting sponsor, Anchor, and everybody who helps put together this show, thank you so much for tuning in each and every week to join us here on That's the Game. We are absolutely privileged to have you as friends of the show and as our fans. We look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, take care of yourself, continue to stay well, stay safe. Do everything that's right and asked of you by all of your local health officials. Please listen to your local governments. We will get through this together, and we will see you all in a stadium very soon. I'm Matthew Jullis. Good night.